It's Hypnotized with Bill and Nikki, live from coast to coast. Just sit back for a spell, put your conscious mind on cruise, and let your unconscious come out to play.
Hi, this is Bill Gladwell, and welcome to Hypnotize with Bill and Nikki. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, baby.
She's allowed to call me baby. Hey, we're broadcasting on BBS Radio. You can reach us by logging on to bbsradio.com. You can log on to our personal website at www.bill-nikki.com. That's Bill-Nikki, N-I-K-K-I.com. You can also give us a call. We have some toll-free numbers. If you're in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 if you're calling from Canada. It is 888-815-9756. All right, so what do we got going on? I walked in the studio and I just got here, and apparently we have plans for today for the show, but I don't know what they are yet.
Absolutely, we do. Well, we have to start with hypnosis in the news, as our new format dictates. So I found a story that actually just happened in the last couple of days, so I'm going to have to keep everybody updated how this turns out. But let me read this to you. And actually, it is something that happened here in Ohio. It says, hypnosis before trial could invalidate murder verdict. It's from the Associated Press, May 26th. A man who testified against his brother and two others in 2003 murder trial said his mother hypnotized him in the months before he took the stand. A judge will have to decide whether Matthew Henkel had been hypnotized and whether portions of his testimony were elicited through hypnosis.
Where was this at?
I'm not there yet.
In Ohio?
Yeah. If the judge does so, the state superior court could order a new trial for the three men because testimony induced by hypnotism is not always admissible. Craig Elias, 27, a former, I can't say the name of this, Duquesne, I don't know, some weird college, Duquesne University football player, Jared Henkel, and Aaron Leichner are serving life sentences in the murder of Andrew Jones in April in 2002. Mr. Jones' body was found at the bottom of the Ohio River in Steubenville, Ohio, bound with duct tape, wrapped in plastic, and weighted with chains and barbell equipment.
Steubenville. What happens in Steubenville?
Apparently murder.
Well, yeah, but something famous. What was it?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to look.
Okay, you look. Authorities say the men believe Mr. Jones stole drug money from a safe they kept at a Pittsburgh drug house. At trial, Matthew Henkel testified that he helped persuade the men to release another man before Mr. Jones was killed and that he helped dispose of the body. Last year, in a sworn affidavit filed as part of Jared Henkel's appeal, Matthew Henkel claimed his mother hypnotized him months before the trial. According to the affidavit, his mother reportedly asked him questions about the killing in an effort to help him sleep and accept the fact that he was not responsible for Mr. Jones' death. Allegheny County Judge Jeff Manning has scheduled a hearing June 5th on the issue. So as it stands right now, the general gist of all of that was that this kid's mom hypnotized him and was asking him questions about the incident and what happened and, you know, in particular detail about the event. And so the judge is saying that part of his testimony may not be able to be used.
Was she a hypnotist, or what do you mean hypnotized him?
That's all it says. I don't know. His mother hypnotized him months before the trial.
Really?
So I'm not sure. You're hypnotized naturally, you know, several times an hour anyway, so who's to say it was her that hypnotized him? Maybe she was just boring.
Huh.
I don't know. So that's the story, but June 5th, which is very quickly approaching, we'll have to see what happens. I will do an update and let everybody know because I'm anxious to see what happens with that. I have no idea.
Steubenville has a high school.
Well, I would hope.
I'm looking through it. There's something that happened in Steubenville. If anybody knows, call in. I want to know what happened in Steubenville.
Yes. This is going to be your thing for the evening. You're going to have to find out, aren't you?
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway. Okay. My did you know fact of the week You know this one, maybe, but you don't know that it's what I'm using tonight. Did you know, Mr. Gladwell, that IBS has only one medication that was, up until very recently, able to be used for treatment, ailment, etc.? There was only one. It was very recently called off the market and pulled for, do you remember, babe, heart attacks? Or?
Yeah, there were a few people that had heart attacks, so they pulled it off the market.
There you go. If you look online at what the next, how do I want to say this?
The next line of treatment, I guess.
But, yeah, the next line of defense is hypnosis. And our own doctor, when we asked him about this, said that, hypnosis is what he would recommend. So it's the only thing that the medical community has right now. If you're a hypnotist listening, you might want to take advantage of that. If you're somebody with IBS, email us, we'll get you some help. But it's one of the only forms of treatment and therapy right now that can help with the symptoms, the pain, some of the other things that go along with IBS. Hypnosis is one of the most recommended and most widely accepted forms of treatment.
Yeah, if you are a if you're anybody listening to this, they also recommend biofeedback, and that's right up there, number two or number three also. And but the way that I teach hypnosis is that hypnosis is like a human biofeedback machine. You sit down in front of somebody and you feed them back the things that you want them to do if you want to get them relaxed and into a trance, for example, that if they're not doing it, you have to change what you're feeding back to this person in order to get them to go where you want them to go. So biofeedback and hypnosis are so close together that if a doctor says, well, I heard biofeedback, if you're a hypnotist, it's the same thing. Tell them, explain it to them that that's what you are, is a human feedback machine or a biofeedback machine, and you can sit down in front of them and you do better because you're fluid. You're not a machine. You can actually flow with the person sitting in front of you.
Fantastic. Thank you, baby.
So how does somebody know if they have IBS? We can't diagnose and we can't
recommend.
What are some of the things that a person should look for, you know, if they have it, they should go to the doctor?
Right. I would recommend going to the doctor if you have any of the symptoms. If you don't know what some of the symptoms are, bloating, gassiness, cramping, pain, discomfort.
On a consistent basis.
Yes, right. Not just, you know, once a week.
And it usually comes up more when you're stressed or,
right,
you know, you have stressors in your life.
Right. And it should be ongoing for probably several weeks before you think it's IBS. Otherwise, it could be just stress and some other things.
Unlike my dad. My dad has acid reflux. And I think he's had it ever since I've been a little kid. Because he'd always talk about getting an air pocket at the dinner table. And he still does it. He gets air pockets is what he calls them every time we have dinner or lunch together. And it's acid reflux. He won't go to the doctor and get scoped. And he just keeps saying no doctor's going to work on him. But, you know, if something is going on like that, you need to get to the doctor and have it checked out.
Yes. And that's another thing that we very highly recommend. I will not give you any kind of treatment or therapy. No, I would never do treatment. But I'm not going to help you in any way, shape, or form unless I know you've at least seen a doctor and been told that you do have IBS.
And for something like IBS, we need a permission slip from the doctor.
Right.
In order to even, you know, start to teach you how to deal with it, because that's basically all we do is teach you how to deal with the pain and also help you get that biofeedback mechanism in place so you can lessen the symptoms of it.
And any hypnotist should. So if you call somebody or try to get some information about it from somebody other than us and they don't ask you for a medical release, that should be a red flag.
Oh, can we go back to Steubenville now?
Yes. Did you figure it out?
Dean Martin. He was born there.
There you go.
I knew it.
I'm so proud. All right. You ready for the show topic?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay. We're going to talk about hypnosis versus the 12-step programs, the infamous 12-step programs.
This should make some people happy.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be a controversial show. Ouch. I am very passionate about this. I have some very strong feelings on 12-step programs. And I know Bill, you do too. So we're going to talk pretty in-depth, and we're going to be very open-minded and do both sides of the coin so that, you know, people understand, yes, we're biased, we're hypnotists, but we're also not going to shut the door to 12-step programs and say that they never, ever, ever work and, you know, don't do that for anybody.
Well, they work by accident.
Yes. Okay, well, there
you go. I won't shut the door.
All righty. yeah. Do you want to start the conversation rolling with that one?
No,
oh,
go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. she's giving me a dirty look. what do you want me to talk about? The 12-step programs? I mean, you've got several 12-step programs. They're all
right.
The anonymous programs. And you have Alcoholics Anonymous and what? Sexaholics
Anonymous. Overeaters Anonymous.
Oh, yeah, Overeaters Anonymous.
Sexaholics Anonymous.
I said that one.
Oh, Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yeah, we said that one, too.
Oh.
Anyways, all the anonymous groups, you have, like, a ton of them now.
Yes.
And
Shoppers Anonymous. That's
Shopaholics. Yeah, you have all kinds
Gamblers
of...
Gamblers Anonymous.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a gamaholic or not. Anyways, you have all of them. And the 12-step program is, I don't like it.
No.
I don't know. What were your thoughts on it? How did you get introduced to 12-step programs? I mean, I know you never went through a 12-step program.
No,
How do you know about
my personal relationship with a 12-step program? You know very well, my dear. Because my ex-husband is going through one, and I have very, very strong feelings about it because my personal thought is that they are 100% hypocritical. They talk a good talk, but they don't follow through with anything that they're saying. So they tell you that you must be aligned with God and that you must acknowledge your, not your sins, I guess, but your sins, I guess, so to speak.
Well, the first one is you have to admit that you're powerless over your addiction.
Right.
And that your lives became unmanageable. So, number one, the first thing they want to do is take, well, they want you to believe that you're powerless over your addiction, that your addiction is just all powerful, and that goes against everything that I ever taught.
Right, right. Well, because you don't want to be powerless against your addiction. You want to be the power that guides. You don't want something to guide you. You want to guide it. And I very personally feel that I have a very strong conviction. 12 Steps program, it's like you said, they work by accident. And the biggest thing, I was reading an article on here, and I'll go to it in a second, but I was reading an article and it said that if people want to change, then the 12-step program is going to work. And it says in the article that success rates with any kind of treatment program are bullcrap. Because how can you gauge it? You can say, well, if they followed the program 100%, and if they did this, and if they did this, but you never know if they're doing all of those things. So, like the 12-step program, for instance, you don't know if they've legitimately, if they really feel remorseful for what they've done. You don't know if they're lying about where they live or where they frequented last night or what they did. You don't know. You're going on their word, and call me crazy, but if they're in the 12-step program, their word is not really golden. They're there for a reason because they lied in the first place. They have a problem, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, usually people that go through the 12-step program, I mean, a lot of them are volunteer, but a lot of them are mandated by the courts. And
right.
For some reason, the courts have taken a hold of the 12-step programs and I'd say kind of endorsed it because that's what they send people to. But they send people to them because there's really nothing else out there to send them to.
Right.
And the success rate is only, well, if you go to the corporate office of any of the anonymous groups, they don't have any data. They won't give you their success rate. It falls somewhere between 7% and 12%. And if you did nothing, if you just put somebody out there on their own that had to stop drinking, for example, they have a more of a success rate than the Alcoholics Anonymous has. And the success that the people have in that comes from people who are really dedicated, and it comes back to what I look for, what we look for when we bring on a client. And it's the three beliefs that something must change, that I must change them, and that I can change them. If you go into any kind of program, any kind of behavior modification program with those three beliefs and you honestly believe them, you're going to make the change because that's a good foundation to start from. But if you don't have those beliefs, if you're going in because you're mandated by the court or if your spouse wants you to or if your family did an intervention and you have to go in, you're not going to follow through on it. Because I know with Alcoholics Anonymous specifically, once you're an alcoholic, they say you're always an alcoholic, and you have not gone through the program until you fell off the wagon once or twice, because that's part of the program.
Huh. It's interesting to me the way that the 12-step program supposedly works.
I mean, every week when you go back, you stand up in front of the group and say, you know, hi, I'm Pat, and I'm an alcoholic, or whatever
right.
your group you're in. And that's your identity. If you say, I am anything, you tend to form your beliefs and your behaviors
right.
and your values around what you believe you are. And so every week, at least once a week, sometimes more, you're reinforcing the fact that you are an alcoholic or that you are a sexaholic. So they have you admit to that every single week. And it's not a good basis to form your identity on.
No, that's what I was just going to say. When you stand up and say, I am an alcoholic or I am a sexaholic or I'm a whatever you're, pick your poison. It's the exact opposite of hypnosis. We put things in the past. I was an alcoholic. I am alcohol-free. I am sex... Well, you don't want to be sex-free. At least I don't. But you put the...
I hope not.
You put the problem in the past. So you become the person that you want to be. You become drink-free or, you know, the addiction-free. So we change your identity into the person that you want to become.
And I heard, who did we talk to? We talked to somebody the other day, and I can't remember who it was, and they were telling me that the 12-step programs work as long as you stay in them long enough. Well, yeah, you're going to stop drinking when you stay in them long enough and you die.
Right.
But the thing is that it's not universally applicable to everybody. Not everybody changes in the same way.
Right.
I mean, when they come to us, and we use hypnosis or neuro-linguistic programming or whatever we use for the behavior modification, we have flexibility. We have a 6-step process that we take people through, but we're also flexible. So if it's not working for somebody, we're going to change what we're doing and do something else to get the result. And I admit, not everybody that comes to us, we can help. We have to send them to somebody else. But if you talk to a 12-stepper or anybody that is leading one of the groups, that's the end-all, be-all, that there's nothing else, that this works as long as you stay in it, and that's just not true.
Right. Well, and it goes back to the same thing. How do they know these people are staying in it? Because they come to class every week? That's ridiculous. I mean, what did they do from one week to the next? You don't know. And they don't have a bodyguard following them around 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, to make sure that they're following all of these guidelines that they're supposed to be following. So you're taking a liar's word and, you know, basically trusting them to do what you want them to do. That's just, it's not, to me, it just seems absolutely ignorant. So call me crazy, but I absolutely vehemently I despise 12-step programs. I think they're absolutely ludicrous. And that token, is hypnosis an end-all, cure-all? No. But again, like you were saying, 12-step programs are a cookie-coated program. You either fit in the mold or you don't. And if you don't, they don't allow you that. It's not like they say, they're not going to tell you, you know what, you need to go find a program that's going to work. This one just isn't for you. It's not that the program is wrong. It's that you're not doing something right. They blame you. How dare you not fit into our cookie-cutter mold? How dare you not work with our program? How dare you not adhere to our guidelines? Whatever. That's not always the case. It's that every program works differently for every person, and you need a program that's going to bend around you. And that's, again, not to say that a program should adhere to you and you need something. I mean, obviously, if you're trying to change a habit or change an addiction, you need to be changing. So I'm not saying that the program should conform to... Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I'm
You're
not
making
saying
sense.
It very well.
Well, one of the big things, and this, you know, we're on an Ohio theme today because the first 12-step program, which is Alcoholics Anonymous, was started in Akron, Ohio. So ask me how I know that.
I probably don't want to know how
you
know that.
I really don't know how I know that. But it was started in Akron, Ohio. And but one of the primary tenets of the 12-step program is that it requires its members to surrender all their will and all their self-reliance over to a higher power, and whether that be God or whatever they call it. But, you know, you have agnostics, you have atheists out there, and you probably get a lot of agnostics and atheists that go through or are mandated to go through the program because, you know, these are the people that were sent there by the court. The 12-step program says it can help them because they want to help them believe in that higher power, but, you know, but they also say that it's not based on religion, but it is.
Right.
You have to have that underlying concept for the 12-step program to work.
Right.
And that's what I disagree with. I've worked with alcoholics before. They've come to me. They were sent over to me by their doctors. And I'm thinking of one that wanted to, this person would go home, start to fix dinner after work, and drink about two bottles of wine, two full bottles of wine by herself. And she didn't want to do that anymore. I said, what do you want to do? She goes, I want to have a glass while I'm cooking dinner, but I don't want to drink two bottles. And so that's what we did. I worked with her for about 9 weeks, and she got down to one glass, and that's all she does a night. That's what she wanted. I think that is more of a success because she still can have what she wants. But alcoholism is when you go to excess.
Right.
It's a choice. You can stop after one glass, and that's what we gave her as a choice. She could always go back and drink two bottles, but she doesn't want to do it. When she came to me, she had that something must change, I must change it, and I can change it. She had those three beliefs already. She was ready. She was at that point where enough is enough.
Right. I found this article that I was talking about, and this deals with the whole Britney Spears thing. Not
she's
that I want
an anonymous thing?
Yes. She's in the 12-step program.
For what?
For, well, this is an old article, but for all of her drugs and drinking and everything that she was having.
She's in several 12-step programs.
This one was her third one, and I think she's actually on a fourth one now. I might be wrong. I'm not going to say that that's, you know, accurate. But this article was from March, and I think she dropped out of this one, and I think she started another one in April or May. But with that said, every program she was in was a 12-step program. As far as I know. Again, this is, you know, I'm getting bits and pieces from this article. It doesn't give me details on everything that she's been in. Well, Malibu Rehab Center, here's another rehab center. Yeah, I think they're all 12 steps. Anyway, this person here, Harvey Levin of TMZ.com, said, all of a sudden it feels like any time a celebrity gets into trouble, boom, they're in rehab. It feels a little hollow. If they're doing it to get better, more power to them. But if they're doing it to resurrect their image, then I don't think anybody is buying what they're selling. That's the thing, is that a lot of people go through the 12-step program, especially famous people, because it looks good. You know, the 12-step program is, like you said, the courts convey that it's so widely accepted, it's so successful, it's such a wonderful thing. Everybody acknowledges the 12-step program. If they don't condone it or endorse it, they at least know of it. And there's, it's, you know, a very distinct line between people who endorse and support 12-step programs and people like us that absolutely don't. I don't think there's very many gray areas with people. I think it's a yay or nay one way or the other. But a lot of the stars get into these programs. Just, it's kind of an image thing, you know. Oh, I went through a 12-step program, I'm all better. Well, in the case of Britney, as a prime example, she's already been through three. So tell me how well they work, you know.
Time's a charm, right?
No, it was not. and here's what they say about this. It says, with so many rehab clinics opening every year, there are more than 40 in Southern California alone. Rog admits that, Rog is, I don't know, some guy in the story, admits that many are indeed a waste of time. When it's all about massage, acupuncture, hypnosis, and brave wave therapy, and you're missing the 12 steps, then you're not doing the treatment, he says. You want me to tell you how I feel about Rog?
Who?
This guy in the article that said that.
Yes.
I don't like him.
Okay.
I think he's stupid.
Who was the famous guy? He's an actor. Gary Busey, he went through a 12-step program. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Anyways, he swears by it.
Wait, here's more.
Yep.
People have found ways to lure alcoholics and addicts into programs that really don't provide serious recovery. So what are the chances that Sears will leave promises fully rehabilitated? The whole thing with success rates is that there's no validity to any of it, says that guy Rog again. You know, I can say we have almost 100% success rate if someone follows exactly what we tell them to do, but that hardly ever happens. That's basically it.
All righty.
So that's the kind of stuff, that's the kind of ignorance that makes me angry, is he's basically saying if there's not a 12-step program involved in your treatment, you're not getting cured. Well, show me anywhere where the 12-step program actually works 100% of the time. It doesn't. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. Are they saying that 100% of the time?
They're saying if you follow exactly what they do, we have 100% success rate. Yeah.
And you have to stay in it. Well, yeah, if you follow exactly what we do, we have 100% success rate.
Right. Yeah, we're right. This guy is legitimately saying that the whole thing is a success, is that there's no validity to it. And he's saying basically what we're saying. I don't like this guy, but he's saying basically what we're saying is that, you know, everybody can have 100% success rate, but you don't because people don't follow exactly what you tell them to do. So he's saying exactly what we're saying. He's just saying that if you don't use the 12-step program, then nothing else that you're going to do is going to work.
Got it.
So that's what he's saying. He's saying, oh, no, the 12-step program, you know, if anybody tells you, same thing we say.
Got it.
So that's the general gist of it all.
Huh.
But the 12 steps is, I can give you, you know, an exact example.
All right, give it to me.
And this is back to an individual that I know who entered SA, which is Sexaholics Anonymous. However, he had lied to the members in his group about exactly why he was there. He was also seeing a sex therapist. He had lied to her about why he was there. He had lied to every member of his family about why he was going. He had a huge cloud of deceit built around him as to why he was attending these meetings and why he was going. So they all believed him. They all had this pretty little picture of why he's there and that it was court-ordered. You know, he was arrested for some very, very bad things and played down. His therapist didn't even know what his actual crime was, which is pretty major, I think. SA has no idea what his original crime was, which is, again, a very big problem in my mind. If you're court-ordered, I think that the court should also send down your verdict and say, here's what they're arrested for, here's their original charge, here's the plea. You know, I think that needs to be made knowledgeable to the members of this group. I think that's important information. None of them know that. None of them know any reason why he's there except other than what he has told them. It has come to light very recently, just exactly what I stated, that he had lied to every single one of those people. Not only has he lied to all of those people, he was living with someone before he would even court ordered to go into therapy. Now, if you look into Sexaholics Anonymous, you cannot be living with anyone. If you're married, you need to move into another bedroom for, you know, a period of time and be abstinent from sex or abstain from sex for a very long period of time until you are what they consider well. If you don't, then as far as they are concerned, you are not adhering to their guidelines. You are not, how do I word this? You're not facilitating in the therapy or facilitating whatever, participating in the therapy. You may as well not be in it. He had lived with this person. It's now been 4 years that he's been living with this person. His sponsor doesn't know. His group doesn't know. Nobody cares. So it's like I was saying, nothing that he's done in therapy has been purposeful. Because every ounce of it has been a lie. Every single ounce of it. This has been brought to light. So anybody who knows what I'm talking about or knows who I'm talking about, it has been brought to light. It has been brought to the court's attention. But it's sad that, you know, these people are in this supposed treatment. how nobody knew he was lying. They all believed every word this man was saying, and everything was a complete fabrication. So how do you know that the guy sitting next to you is telling you the truth? Or the person who stands up and admits something is telling you the truth. You don't.
It comes back to those things we look for, though, is that something must change, I must change him, and that I can change him.
Right.
And if people don't have him going in, they're not going to work the program, or any program.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Right. That is exactly correct. But that itself gave me a very, very, very bad image and perception of the 12-step programs, because I know they have failed. Not only have they failed miserably in this area. And it affects my son. You know, the outcome of that whole thing affects my son, and that bothers me a lot, that the courts care that little about this, you know, 12-step program that does no good. It's not doing anything. So it's very frustrating.
Well, you know, my problem with, well, I got several problems with the whole thing, but, yeah, it just comes back to people, their statistics are so low, and it's unbelievable that people, that's what people turn to. And again, it does work if you're committed to it, but anything would probably work for those people that are committed to it. So.
Right. And that's the thing, is that all of these places, and that's what I mean when I said I wasn't going to condemn the 12-step program entirely. If somebody's committed and says, you know what, I'm going to change, and this is what I'm going to use to change, I can do it, I know I can, I have to do it, they're going to probably change. It's going to probably work for them. But that has nothing to do with the 12-step program. It has to do with their own personal belief and that motivating drive that they have to change. They have to get better. And
I agree. If somebody's out there listening to this and you've gone through the 12-step program and you've been successful, or maybe if you're going through it and you've not been successful, it's, you were successful because of you. It didn't have anything to do with the program. You were committed. You had some support and help along the way, but you did it. It wasn't a higher power. It wasn't anything like that. You pulled the resources out from deep inside yourself, and you got off alcohol, or you got off drugs, or whatever it was that you were in there for. And that's what really irks me, I guess, because people... they place so much reliance on external things, and they don't think they're number one. It's bad on the flip side of that is that people aren't they don't feel responsible for certain actions that they do because they place the responsibility on outside, you know, their environment or other people. But at the same time, when something good happens, if you are an alcoholic and you did get off of or you don't do alcohol anymore, it was you that is not drinking alcohol anymore. And, you know, I think the anonymous groups take one burden, if you take alcohol, for example, and replace it with another. Now you are kind of limited on how you live your life because they don't want you going into a bar. They don't want you to hang around people that drink. And they don't want you doing a whole lot of other things. And, you know, when I work with people, or when we work with people for alcohol, for example, I want them to be able to go into a bar with all the friends they used to have and refuse the drink and just not do it and still have fun, because that's where real choice comes from.
Right. And it's ironic to me that these people who are so successful in the 12-step programs is because they've neglected step number one. They've not admitted that they're powerless. In fact, they've admitted that they have the power to change it. They can do this. They're going to do this. And it's kind of an oxymoron. Like, they're admitting that they are powerless, but in all reality, by admitting that and by saying I'm powerless, but I'm going to change this, it's kind of an oxymoron of sorts. They're maintaining the power. They're saying, I'm going to keep the power right now. I'm going to tell you I'm powerless, but I'm keeping the power because, by golly, I can do this. I'm going to get it done. So it's a little oxymoronic there. Let's do that hypnosis part of hypnosis versus the 12-step program.
Okay.
thank you. Tell me a little bit, babe. Give me your thoughts on hypnosis for, let's take addictions as a start. What's the difference? What does hypnosis do that's a little bit different? How does it work as opposed to the 12-step program? And I don't mean work. I mean, you know, how does it relate.
Well, hypnosis doesn't do anything. Remember,
right.
It's the therapist. Hypnosis is just a tool. If you take a carpenter, you know, I always tell people he's not a hammerer. He doesn't come in and all he does is hammer. He knows what he's doing, and he uses a hammer as a tool, and it's the same with hypnosis. And when it comes to, you know, somebody that comes in that has an addiction, if you take alcohol, for example, I hear a lot from people, and it doesn't matter if they're in conversation or people that come to see me, that alcoholism is a disease, and I don't buy into that. It's not a disease. It's a choice that you make. It's not a disease would be cancer, and you can't choose to have cancer or not have cancer. You can choose to drink alcohol or not drink alcohol. It's a choice. And so in order to work with somebody that has that drinks a lot of alcohol, you have to help them with new behaviors. And I just take them through the six-step process. We're talking about 12 steps here, but we have a six-step. So ours is twice as fast. Now, it's a process that we take them through, but it's not based on something similar to the 12 steps at all, because in the 12 steps you have to turn yourself over to a higher power. It's, you know, okay, you're getting some kind of positive intent from drinking alcohol, for example. Let's find out what that is. For example, if people are drinking alcohol because they can socialize and they feel that connection with other people, well, we have to help them find that connection that they have when they're drinking with other people. We have to have them do it by doing something other than drinking.
Right.
So that's what we help them with.
Right. And how does that compare? I mean, I understand how it compares to the 12-step program, but give me your thoughts on, well, how do I say this?
I don't know.
Thank you for your support. As opposed to, what does somebody look for, and how do they acknowledge what kind of a program is going to work for them, and how do they know, I guess, what's going to be in their best interest and what to look out for when they go into some of these step programs and or a hypnotist or whatever. What are they going to look for?
Use your brain and use your gut. If you go in and you sit through a meeting and it sounds stupid, it probably is stupid, so
right.
Don't go back. Unless you're court mandated, by the way, then you have to go. But, you know, if you're doing this voluntarily, don't go back. The 12-step program, for example, when you go to that, and it's not for everybody, it does work for some people, but you turn yourself over to a higher power. The responsibility is not on you. The responsibility is to the higher power. You admit to God, yourself, and to other human beings the exact nature of what you did wrong. And so you're bringing people in to the meetings and stuff and saying, you know, I did this wrong. And you ask God, for example, to remove your shortcomings. You make a list of all the people that you've harmed, for example, and become willing to make amends to all them. It's all good stuff. It's a lot of touchy-feely stuff, but it doesn't really get down to the core of what you need to do, and that's change your behaviors.
Right.
And so when you're looking for, I guess, a program that you want to go through, look for those things. Do you want to rely on somebody else, or do you want to rely on yourself?
Right. To revert back to that story I was discussing earlier, I had to sit through one of those meetings where they had to confront the people they had hurt and confront the people that they, you know, however it's made through, you know, through the SA, the people that they have to make amends to. I had to sit through one of those meetings, you know, one-on-one with this individual, and it was great. It was touching, moving, wonderful play. You know, the man could have gotten a Grammy or Oscar or whatever the heck it is. And a week later, 2 weeks later, however long it wasn't very much longer, was back to blaming everybody but himself and, you know, horribly bashing me and horribly bashing all these other individuals and exactly the opposite of everything that he had just sat and cried and whined and, oh, I'm so sorry. All of the things that he had said a week earlier, he just completely erased. And when I talked to the therapist about it, she didn't believe me. I'm like, I don't understand. You know, you're taking the word of someone who has never lied to you, and you're saying, you know, that I'm wrong, and yet this individual is lying to you. I mean, obviously she didn't know then, but whatever. But it brings light to that whole same fact again that, you know, they can do the song and dance, but do they really mean it? And that's not to say that people can't fool anybody, you know, that it's very likely when you're dealing with somebody with an addiction, with a problem of that magnitude, they're known for their deceit. It's what they do. So, but the 12-step program doesn't offer the capacity and the ability to acknowledge and recognize that immediately as to where not even just hypnosis, but some of the other more personal programs, more in-depth programs do. It's like you said, we sit down with somebody, we read their body language, we're hypnotists, so we know how to word things to get them to say things through their subconscious that they don't necessarily want to admit to or want to say. So we have ways of finding the truth without these people really wanting to tell us the truth, if that makes sense. We can get it out of them.
I guess my problem is that, you know, you go in and every week, at least once a week, you admit that I'm an alcoholic or I'm
right.
a sexaholic, whatever group you're in, and it develops your identity, and you're always an alcoholic.
Right.
I mean, if you don't drink, it's like a smoker. You're not always a smoker. If you smoke cigarettes and you stop smoking, you're a non-smoker. And
right.
so they treat it as a disease, and I don't buy into that. And if you talk to the medical community, you know, you'll have a split. Some of them buy into it, some of them don't.
Right, right. And it's sad but true. Do you have anything else you want to add on that whole thing, dear?
In what regards?
I don't know.
No, I mean, Sexaholics Anonymous. I mean, what do you do when you put a lot of people in a room that want to have sex? It doesn't seem like a good treatment for me. You know?
No. And
like a good dating strategy.
Yeah. It's funny because I've seen a couple of movies where people go to those meetings specifically to meet people, and they always do. And I know that's just the movies, but they do that, you know. You can watch interviews with people, and I can tell you firsthand from people I know who've been in it, that's exactly what they do. They go to the meetings, they meet people who are in it, they meet people who are, you know, having the same urges and problems, so to speak, and they, you know, let me remedy that problem for you. Let's go take care of that.
All right, so now that we've alienated everybody in an anonymous group from our show, now what are we going to do?
No, we didn't alienate them. We just told them to, you know, be careful.
They work if you want to work them. If you have those beliefs that something must change, you must change them, and that you can change them, anything's going to work. So get into something, and that's structured. And if you want to go with the higher power and the belief in God and those, then it's not, I mean, do it. It's still, if you take somebody off the street, it's got about a 7 to 12% success rate, though.
Right.
And that's what people have documented, because the actual corporate office won't give you any documentation on their success rate.
Right.
Other than it's 100% if you, you know, just stay in it long enough. Well, nobody knows what long enough is.
Right. Here's the other thing about treatments in general is the biggest part of it is your personality, how you learn, how you take in information, what works for me, for you, in regards to what your own personal problem is. If you're a very structured, regimented person, you're a Christian and or have a belief in the higher power, God, whatever, if that is you, a 12-step program may work. Yeah, it might. It depends on how you accept that form of treatment and how you relate it into your life. So it depends. If you're kind of a free spirit and I don't want to say a disorganized person by any stretch of the imagination, but a little more footloose and fancy free, you know, you like change, you like new things, hypnosis is a good idea, you know. Hypnosis, I will say, works for everybody, even the very strict regimented types, just because we can work it for any type of personality. We can suit the program to your personal needs. What other kinds of treatments are there?
I don't know. That's just what irks me with the whole God thing. You know, I have a concept that is different than, you know, a lot of people. But even, it doesn't matter if you're Christian or what. If God did not make you drink and the devil didn't make you drink, God gave you the choice to drink or not drink. You have to make it. He gave you free will.
Right.
And, you know, just choose to not drink if you don't want to drink anymore. But God didn't make you do it, and he's not going to make you stop. Or she, or he or she.
All right, so I alienated the 12-steppers, you alienated the Christians.
Yes.
Good job. Wow, told you it was going to be a controversial show, folks. And in that regard, we do not mean any disrespect or disregard to anyone for their religious preferences or health choices. We are very open-minded and respect every individual and each individual's choices, life choices, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I get along with alcoholics.
Yeah, well, thank you, honey. That's not what I meant. I meant we accept every form of treatment that they, you know, if somebody came to me and said they were in a 12-step program, I'm not going to say, you know, you stupid idiot, get out of my house. That's not the way that we are. So I want you to understand we're not bashing you as a person. We're just saying that these programs themselves have a lot of room for improvement, and you need to be very, very careful if you're in any other kind of a program, any program, hypnosis even, be very careful with what you're doing, who you're dealing with, what kind of a situation you're in, what kind of addiction you have. If you want some help or advice, and you want to email us some questions, get some tips, we certainly will not diagnose you. Again, we're not doctors. We're not going to diagnose you or anything along those lines, but I can give you some suggestions and tips and help you out. So,
well, that's the thing. That's the problem I have with the whole, because with hypnosis and with what we do, it's always developing. So we find new ways to do things.
Right.
And we always are in constant development of new techniques in order to speed things along and do it better. But the 12-step program was designed by Bill W. and Dr. Bob, I think is his name, back in 1935. And it hasn't changed since 1935. And everything else has.
Right.
And so when something doesn't change since 1935, then I'm going to kind of argue against it, because there's some advances that they've had in psychology and in other areas that would really help, and they haven't adopted any of those.
Well, I can tell you, just because I've heard it, 12-step advocates, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It is broke. And it's not even necessarily that it's broke. It's if you have the opportunity to make something better, why wouldn't you take that opportunity? You know, if cars were the same as they were back in the 50s, there'd be a problem. Even the 40s, 30s, whatever. I mean, that would be bad. That would be very, very bad for a lot of reasons. So cars have come a long way. They weren't broke. They weren't bad. Nobody had any problems with the first cars that came out. I'm sure they did, but nothing major. They were excited to have cars. But they, you know, rethought it, revamped it, changed it, added more things. So now you have, you know, minivans that seat 8-9 people and have DVD players and the whole nine yards, vibrating heated seats, whatever.
Vibrating seats?
Yeah, they have them in BMWs.
Oh, okay.
They have little vibrators in them. They're pretty cool.
All right. So if you'd like to send us some hate mail, you can go to our website at bill-nicky.com. That's bill-nicky.com, because even if you send hate mail, it's still a hit on our website. So that's
that was just a hypnotic suggestion. Ah.
What?
The send the hate mail.
Oh, I like any kind of mail.
Okay. You can answer them then. But we do appreciate you listening. We do appreciate all of our listeners. We certainly don't want to alienate or isolate any group of individuals.
I don't really have a problem with that.
Okay. I'm just going to speak for myself then. If you want to email us your point of view and or with questions, issues, concerns with anything we've said today, if you have some thoughts or information for us, if you think that we need further enlightenment, any of those issues, you know, do get online, go to our website, shoot us an email, give us a call, whatever is easiest for you.
Oh, we want more fan mail, too.
And that, too.
Not hate mail. We want more fan mail.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So we do want to hear from you if you have any questions, concerns, issues, problems, anything of the sort, or if you just want to, you know, send us a line and say, hey, you know, we like what you're doing, that would be great, too. We look forward to hearing from you. We want to hear from you. Show ideas. We always look for show ideas. So if you have a topic that you want to hear us discuss, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, give us a call, give us an email, get some information to us. We will call you and discuss that. We'd love to talk to you.
At bill-nicky.com, or you can find us on bbsradio.com.
Absolutely. And the email is, what email did you give out?
I didn't give out an email. I'm just sending everybody over there.
Oh, okay.
Bill-nicky.com, and there's a contact page. You can go in there and fill out a form. And you can also click on our emails and email us directly, but bill-nicky.com.
There you go.
You can send an email to info@bill-nicky.com if you'd like to.
That's what I was looking for. I didn't know if you left.
Okay. I think time's up for today.
It is. We appreciate you listening and dealing with us. And, again, we apologize if we offended anybody. We look forward to talking to you and seeing you again next week. And until then, have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.